Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour Zero Gravity Gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Montana to Miami, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we're pleased to be coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, guess what? Rocket can. We appreciate you dropping on by. Good morning, everybody. What a show we have lined up. How about one of the most popular wrestlers in the game today, WWE multi-time champion ahead of WrestleMania. The Miz is going to join us this morning on the show. That should be awesome. That should be huge. The Miz has joined us before. He's always a great interview, big personality, big name. The Miz ahead of WrestleMania is going to join us in hour number 4. Also in hour number 4, we talk NFL draft. Pete Prisco from CBS Sports. Pete has written some interesting things about how he feels Trevor Lawrence fits into the Jaguars system and situation, what that means for Jacksonville long term, also the rest of the QBs that could be drafted or will be drafted. Pete Prisco, always an interesting NFL conversation. We'll do that also in hour number 4. Elsewhere this morning on the show in 20 minutes, what has happened to the Golden State Warriors this season? They've got Steph. They've got Draymond. They've got Steve Kerr, and yet they can't even hit 500. And in 40 minutes, a story only the mothership could love. Did you know once upon a time a New York Yankee defeated an ostrich in a spaghetti eating contest? Oh, yeah, we're going to do that story. In hour number 2, we tackle Arizona sacking Sean Miller, as well as an edition of Meat on the Bone from Meraz, Peter Schwartz Family Insider. Coming up in hour 3, details on the Tiger Woods crash. The authorities have some of that. Also, Shaq does an amazing thing, has a great gesture. Plus, we have Stunned to a News, Advanced Analytics, and your epic fail. It is a stacked show. Let's do it. Here is your phone number if you want to jump into those stories at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, you can hit us up as well, DA on CBS. Again, hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. But you know what? I spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Aaron Rodgers. I've talked about this multiple times this week. This week has been Rodgers guest hosting Jeopardy. And Rodgers has made it very clear he wants this gig. He wants this job. He has told anybody who would listen that he was incredibly prepared. He said that the producers were impressed, blown away, in fact, by how prepared he was. That he regards Alex Trebek as an icon, as a legend, and wants to follow in his footsteps. That he's been a Jeopardy nerd for a long time. He also said that he can bring an audience to Jeopardy that other potential hosts cannot, that he can bring a new audience, and that he hopes the television ratings this week reflect that. And he wanted to remind everybody he is the youngest fill-in host ever. So it's been a little interesting to hear Aaron Rodgers very publicly on the NFL Network and other places stump campaign politic for this job. He wants to be the full-time host of Jeopardy and has clarified that he thinks he can do it while also playing quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He said they tape around 50 days a year, and he says he can work that into his schedule, no problem, and he does not want to retire, he said. He told Good Morning Football the other day that he wants to continue to play football, but he also wants to do this. And then I heard Tom Brady the other day on Good Morning America. He was on GMA. And they were asking him about his new life in Tampa Bay. And the noteworthy headline quote that he gave that kind of ran everywhere was that I realized I lived to learn there was not just a Patriot way. There are other ways to do it. And it was like, oh, my goodness, this must be shade of the Patriots. And in some ways it is. In some ways it is Tom Brady saying, the Patriots make you think that's the only way to win. And the Patriot way thing is very kind of insular. And it is kind of a camouflage for the Patriots to be able to convince you that what they're doing is right and what everybody else is doing is wrong, and that you must commit this way. You cannot talk to the media. You cannot make it about yourself. You cannot have fun. You cannot be anything but kind of the wordless, quiet, undercover soldier of the Patriots, because anything else will rock the boat and you cannot win that way. And so Tom Brady is shedding light on the fact that, yeah, there are other ways to do it. And I've always felt like that Patriot way thing was extremely egocentric and self-serving for the Patriots and for Patriots media and for Patriots fans. Because if you could convince everybody that there was only one way that was the right way, well, then you could convince everybody that what you were doing was superior to everybody else and that you should never be questioned. You know, it's like a dictatorship. It's like old Russia, the Soviet Union. Our way is the right way and everybody else's way is the evil, soulless way. And if you believe our way, then you're on the right side. You know, and so that Patriot way thing's always been very weird. And so Brady said, there's other ways to do it. I've learned there's other ways to do it. In other words, you can have fun. You can have fun. Your coach can have fun. He can connect with you personally. You can have freedoms. You can have personality. You can even have bravado, and you can still win. And when you win, it can even be more enjoyable. So this understandably became the headline of Tom Brady's conversation on GMA. But there was something else that I picked up on that I said, boy, that is so salient right now. Boy, that means so much right now in regards to the Rodgers situation. Brady was discussing how he's not done yet. And actually, his motivation is not from proving other people wrong. That his motivation comes from finality, mortality. That his motivation comes from, if I stop, I never get to start again. And I heard that, and I read that, and I thought about that, and I thought, boy, this would be pretty good advice right now for Aaron Rodgers. It is where we begin your cold open.
Like, I still want to play. You know, I got like a little sickness in me that just wants to throw a freaking spiral. You know what I mean? Also about, but once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I got some more football in me. Not a lot. And I know that. But what I got left, I'm gonna give everything I got.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That was Tom Brady from Good Morning America. Brady, once you stop, you can't go back and do it. I've got some more football left. Not a lot. I know that. But what I got left, I'm going to go and give everything I got. Brady obviously is older than Aaron Rodgers. Brady's older than Aaron Rodgers by about 3 years. And so Brady might have two more seasons left. I doubt this is his last season. So let's just go ahead and say he's got two more years left. Maybe Aaron Rodgers has four or five. I think it's hard to believe that anybody besides Brady would play until he's 45 years old. I don't have much time left, but what I got, I'm going to go out and give everything I got. If you're hosting Jeopardy, can you possibly be as determined, as singularly focused to do and give everything you can to that organization and to your teammates and to yourself for that pursuit of a championship? And I think this is the difference between Tom Brady and maybe everybody else, but certainly Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. I find it impossible to believe that Tom Brady would dedicate anything, any pursuit of his life right now, 50 days of the year, to something other than what he believes will help him on the football field. I think when he dedicates 50 days per year, and it's not on the football field, it's about the football field. It's nutrition, it's longevity, it's flexibility, it's making sure he's healthy at this age to do what he wants to do, both physically and mentally. I think keeping his brain sharp and keeping his body sharp is the most important thing to Tom Brady, because at the end of the day, there's only one thing that matters to him, and that is winning the Super Bowl. Not getting there, not getting close, it is winning the Super Bowl. And I just don't believe you can pursue going after something as significant as hosting Jeopardy and not be at least a little distracted. And the reason that Tom Brady is one of the greatest leaders ever and is certainly the greatest winner in NFL history is this. Because when Tom Brady walks into a room, he can share with you that singular vision. That singular vision is, I want to do the same thing you want to do. I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. You want to win a Super Bowl at all costs. If we do this together, we will win a Super Bowl. If Aaron Rodgers walks into the Green Bay Packers locker room, and he's just spent 2 weeks taping Jeopardy, how can he share the vision of winning a Super Bowl with the guys who during those 2 weeks were working out? During those 2 weeks were getting their grind on. During those 2 weeks were sweating their butt off. During those 2 weeks were studying film. How can he do that? I think Aaron Rodgers is a brilliant quarterback, and I think he's a very smart individual. He wants to separate himself clearly as not just a football player. But you've only got a couple of years left. Sure, the Jeopardy job is a unique job, and maybe that Jeopardy job is not open when you end up retiring. But you've only got a couple more cracks at this. Why not give it everything you have for two or three more years? And then let the chips fall where they may when you're done. Because what is hosting a game show anyway? What is that? It's a really nice post-playing career, but that's not your legacy. That's not ultimately how you will be remembered. We don't have Hall of Fames for game show hosts. We don't have ceremonies at Super Bowls for game show hosts to get trotted out. We don't every so often bring out Pat Sajak and say, boy, do you remember that show in 1983 that he hosted? Remember how Vanna White turned that E around in the final round? We don't do that. Nobody brings out old game show hosts to think about the old memories. Nobody wears the jerseys or the suit ties of the old game show hosts. At this moment, the passing of Alex Trebek has given a lot of celebrity to this position. And certainly you matter nationally because everybody knows the host of Jeopardy. But it's not the social impact or significance of winning Super Bowls and being one of the greats. It's just not. It's just not. Yeah, you've got really good awareness. But Tom Brady recognizes something that's, you would think, obvious. Winning Super Bowls, that moment of confetti coming down on your head and holding that Vince Lombardi trophy and having an entire city that rallies around you and presenting that moment, that memory of brilliance, of excellence, of perfection, whatever that is, to your other teammates, they will live in that glory forever, and you will live in that glory forever. Hosting a game show doesn't do that. And so Brady has put everything aside to do that now, football now. And he said yesterday on Good Morning America, for whatever time I got left, I'm giving it everything I got. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers is speaking that same language. I don't. And maybe nobody else is, because Brady is so incredibly focused. You know, Roethlisberger has kind of allowed himself maybe to get a little sloppy toward the end of his career. And Eli Manning at the end of his career was not nearly as effective. And Phillip Rivers threw a lot of ill-advised passes at the end of his career. And maybe there's just not anybody like Tom Brady. But what I'm saying is that Aaron Rodgers ain't speaking Tom Brady's language right now, and he's publicly stumping for the Jeopardy job. 855-212-4CBS. That's your phone number if you want to weigh in. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. I think all of these quarterbacks and all of these players at the end of their career should listen to Brady. Once you're done, you can't ever go back. Can't get it back. And I think a lot of us would benefit from that type of perspective. You know, your senior year in high school, your senior year in college, the moment that you have in your 20s where, you know, before life sets in and the kids set in and the mortgage sets in and the supporting your family sets in, if you could go back and understand the perspective of, hey, I should do everything all out right now because life changes as soon as this happens. Usually don't have that perspective until much later in your life, and you look back and go, boy, I wish I knew. Brady is telling you what you should know if you're Aaron Rodgers. You've only got a couple more cracks of this left. Give everything you have right now. Everything else will wait. Believe me. When we come back here on the DA Show, in the NBA, the Golden State Warriors aren't even a blip on the radar. How far they have fallen just to get out of a multi-game losing streak is a moral victory. What has happened to the Warriors this season? Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And remember that the DA Show comes to you in podcast form every single day. You can listen to the DA Show when you want to listen to the DA Show. That is in podcast form every single day. Either full hours, full episodes are available, or the best of, the bite-sized one-hour-plus version of the DA, available on your favorite podcast platform. Just search the DA Show to find it. The Golden State Warriors the other night needed 41 points from Steph Curry to snap a long losing skid. They had lost 7 of 8 games, and this season's been so bad that at the moment, they're not even in the top 8 in the Western Conference. Right now, the Golden State Warriors are the 10th seed, 3 games under .500, and 14 games clear of the Jazz. 14 games under the best seed in the Western Conference. And everybody agrees that Steph has played some pretty great basketball this season, but he has dealt with a tailbone injury. And the Warriors have just been losers. They've just been flat-out losers this season, just not good enough. And when you look at the Western Conference, sure, the Jazz have had a phenomenal season, and the Suns have had a surprisingly wonderful season, and the Lakers have sunk back to the pack with the injuries to LeBron and AD. They're now the 5 seed. But there haven't been these huge, unbelievably treacherous roads to hoe in the West like there have been in previous seasons. I mean, aside from a great Jazz season and a great Sun season, the Clippers are good, not great. The Nuggets are good, not great. The Lakers right now are dealing with those injuries. The Blazers are good, not great. The Mavericks are good, not great. And the Grizzlies are just about good. And then it's the Spurs, and then it's the Warriors and the Pelicans. And for the fact that the Warriors are only 2 games better than the Sacramento Kings, tells you just how miserable a season it has been in Warriors land. And I've been thinking about this a lot this season. The Warriors not long ago were a team that you simply said, beginning of the season, we know how this ends with an NBA championship. It was a foregone conclusion that the Golden State Warriors would win the NBA Finals. Foregone conclusion. We knew it was so undramatic. It was so predictable that we were bored and we complained about it. That's how dominant the Warriors were. And so, of course, Kevin Durant left and Klay Thompson got injured. And so without Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and some of the other veterans like Livingston and Iguodala, the Warriors are no longer that dominant team. But for as great as Steph Curry is this the drop-off of the Warriors after Kevin Durant leaves? And, of course, the injury to Klay Thompson. Now, that's no joke. But think about how brittle the success of the Warriors then was. It looked like they could win. Remember Jeff Van Gundy said that the Warriors could win the next 10 or 12 NBA Finals? Remember that? That the Warriors seemed so inevitably great that the Warriors could not lose perhaps for the next decade. That's what was being said. And the Warriors, just 2 years later, can't even hit the 8 seed of the NBA playoffs. Is this how House of Cards it all was that entire time? That for that very moment, those 3 years with Kevin Durant, if you had a healthy Durant and a healthy Curry and a healthy Klay Thompson, you could not lose. There was no way you could lose. But the moment you took those pieces away, one of those three, two of those three, they became just garbage, just flat out garbage. Is a pretty remarkable drop. Now you'll say, well, DA, it's Kevin Durant and it's Klay Thompson. Those are two potential Hall of Famers. That is true. But let's just take Kevin Durant off of it for a second. They won 73 games without Kevin Durant. Many people believe that if Draymond Green doesn't get suspended in the 2016 NBA Finals, they're up 3-1. They close that thing out. So minus Kevin Durant, this team, just with a healthy Klay Thompson, should have won a championship and had the greatest historical season of all time, many say, and did win a championship the previous year in 2015 over the Cavaliers. And so let's just say that Kevin Durant never happens and it's just a healthy Klay Thompson. I guess there was no inevitability there. Again, they won 73 games and had a 3-1 series lead to the NBA Finals over LeBron and the Cavs. You would think that as long as Klay Thompson was healthy, that was going to be what the Warriors were, a 65-70 win team, right? Are we to believe now that Kevin Durant never happened? That the Warriors were Klay Thompson away from being a 8 seed for barely scraping by to get into the playoffs? That if you removed Klay Thompson, suddenly the Warriors went from 73 wins in an NBA Finals to you can't make the playoffs? Or is that it was Klay Thompson and Livingston and Iguodala that did that? That combination was the difference between being an all-time team and you can't make the playoffs? This is just such a remarkable drop-off. And I don't want to say that Steph Curry's not as great as we make him out to be because he's the greatest shooter of all time. That's, I think, inarguable. And he's been a brilliant playmaker and an unbelievable shooter and a future Hall of Famer, and he changed the game. So I'm not here to crush Steph Curry. But Steph Curry being the best player on your team doesn't even make the playoffs these days. Now, isn't that an amazing concept? That Steph Curry could be one of the greatest players ever, certainly the greatest shooter ever, change the way the sport was played, and if he's the best player on your team, it doesn't even guarantee you the playoffs. And I think about that compared to LeBron. And I just think that that's the type of expectation we have put on LeBron from day one. LeBron, it doesn't matter who your teammates are, you've not only got to make the playoffs, you better go to the NBA Finals. I mean, remember those Cavaliers teams? He went to the NBA Finals with one in 2007 and didn't have a head coach as accomplished as Steve Kerr. And his second best player was certainly not as good as Draymond. And his organization certainly wasn't as stable as the Warriors are. And LeBron went to the NBA Finals. And then the next year had basically the same cast and fell short because the Celtics beat him. And it was like, oh my God, how could LeBron not get to the NBA Finals? Those years before he went to Miami, 07, 08, 09, that was the only thing expected of LeBron. I mean, the fact that Dwight Howard was at the NBA Finals instead of LeBron? What are you kidding me? Now, certainly LeBron has had talent since then, since he joined Miami and then Cleveland and now L.A. I'm not saying that he has single-handedly dragged the last 10 years of teams to the NBA Finals. He's had help. But in his prime, it was totally unacceptable for him not to make the NBA Finals if he's the best player on your team. And Steph is the best player in the Warriors, and they might not even make the play-in of the Western playoffs. It's just remarkable as I watch this unfold that, A, the expectations we put on LeBron with no excuses. I'm sorry, no excuses. You've got to do this. If not, forget it. You're a bum. And for Steph Curry and the Warriors, how fragile the dominance was. I mean, because frankly, even when they get Klay Thompson back next year, had they had him healthy this year, nobody was picking them to go to the NBA Finals. They thought it'd be interesting. Thought they'd be an interesting playoff team. But when they get Klay Thompson back next year, nobody's going to be saying, oh, that's the best team of the West. Nobody will say that they're better than the Lakers. If the Clippers go to the NBA Finals this year, nobody would say, well, this Warriors team, they're going to be better than that Clippers team, assuming the Clippers bring back the band again. If it's the Jazz that get through this year through the West, nobody's going to end up saying, well, that Warriors team is better than the Jazz, because we will have then seen the Jazz get through the gauntlet. It's just kind of amazing how fragile that seemingly never-ending dominance of the Warriors was. They lost 7 of 8 games. They needed 41 points from Steph Curry just to survive the other night. Times have changed in Golden State. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I open up the show talking about how the singular focus of Tom Brady to win at all costs is not what Aaron Rodgers shares, because Rodgers wants to be a Jeopardy game show host, and that's that. Now, I was mistaken. I thought that Rodgers was closer to 40, but he's actually only 37. And Mraz points out to me that Brady's actually 6 years older than Aaron Rodgers. 6 years, which is just insane to think about, because you think about Rodgers and figure, well, he's got 2 or 3 years left. Meantime, he's 6 years younger than Tom Brady. That is a pretty amazing stark difference here, where there's just no way to imagine that Aaron Rodgers would win a Super Bowl 6 years from today. That's just impossible to believe. I mean, that's a pretty crazy space between those two quarterbacks, Mraz.
It's an unbelievable space, and also just shows you, again, there is a little bit of a will and a little bit of a desire, and maybe Brady doesn't want to go home and play Mr. Dad with Giselle, but 6 years is a long time.
Little bit of will and a little bit of desire? This is maniacal. This is impossible. It's inhuman.
Look, it's exhausting to everybody else who's not a Tampa Bay Buck fan or a Tom Brady fan, too. Of course it's inhuman. To put things in context, just think of this. When Tom Brady was throwing his cap in the air at the high school graduation, Aaron Rodgers was basically playing peewee football in seventh grade. And yet here we are, and we're already talking about the end of his career, while Tom Brady, you can't kill this guy. He just keeps playing. It is truly remarkable and truly just unbelievable.
But you think that Brady's a hypocrite? You don't think that he's all in?
I do. Now, you have to be all in, so to speak, to play until you're 43 years old and have the drive and win Super Bowls. So I don't want to sound too much like a Brady hater, but it wasn't that long ago. In fact, I'd argue it was probably around the same age Aaron Rodgers was, that we were questioning Tom Brady's desire anymore to win championships when he picks the week of OTAs while his teammates are pouring their blood and sweat and everything to go ride camelback through Brazil and go on the beaches. And this happened 2 or 3 years in a row where it was OTA week. And again, some of that might have been the friction. He wasn't going to go report the stuff. He's Tom Brady. We give him a pass. We know he's going to show up and he's fine. But when you talk about, like, you're going to pour your heart and soul and you're all into it, I know that he's organizing workouts with the Bucks and he's done that. And maybe things are a little different now. It wasn't that long ago he wasn't all in, obviously, because to be all in, you'd have to go to everything the way your teammates are going to.
All right, but I mean, going on vacations, that's a lot different than having a second job. It
Definitely.
Wasn't that Tom Brady was also hosting game shows for 50 days out of the year.
I agree, but you could also make the case you can go on vacations any week. You could argue that his priorities now maybe were transitioning more to family life, which probably should be a priority anyway.
It might have been that. It might have also been sticking a thumb in Bill Belichick's eye that he didn't get the respect he believed he deserved after 15 years of winning in New England, that Belichick was still up his butt and questioning him and drafting Garoppolo, et cetera. I think that had more to do with screw you, Bill, than it did I'm not all in, because when all... Let me finish. Okay. You like to do this a lot. Because when all was said and done, Brady was standing there in the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl and dragging that franchise and that roster and those wide receivers to where it had to go. Where Rodgers has seemingly the last couple of years, well, for 10 years, for a decade, not been playing that deep into January and February.
He did make an NFC Championship game 2 years in a row where we questioned the weapons around him and the Packers not supporting him. So it's hard to say that he hasn't been all in with the Packers.
Well, wait a second. This past year, I mean, has Tom Brady had a Davante Adams? I mean, after, you know, the Randy Moss peak years?
No, Tom Brady's better than Aaron Rodgers. But to say that Aaron Rodgers hasn't tried to drag anybody, I mean, now we're just crediting him with Davante Adams, which is fine, but a year ago at draft time, we're talking about how could the Packers not support Aaron Rodgers and draft Jordan Love? We can't a year later say they have because he has Davante Adams.
No, I'm just saying that you, of course, I'm just saying that, yes, the Packers should be all in to support Aaron Rodgers, no doubt. And they should have always gone pedal to the metal to win a Super Bowl. But Tom Brady had less to work with than Aaron Rodgers has had the last couple of years.
I agree with that. But I think that's also a different level that I will always think Tom Brady's a better quarterback than Aaron Rodgers. But I don't think that doesn't mean that Aaron Rodgers hasn't dragged an offense outside of Davante Adams to NFC Championship games back-to-back years here.
Well, he is absolutely brilliant, and he has absolutely elevated players around him and the team around him to a certain level. But I just can't imagine that Brady, when he walks into a locker room, does anything but convince the guys around him, we have one goal together, to win a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers walks into that locker room, and his goal is to become the Jeopardy host versus being all in to win a Super Bowl. That has to resonate in some way, considering Rodgers hasn't gotten back in a decade.
I agree. I don't think that his goal is not to win a Super Bowl. I think he enters that locker room wanting to, but to your point, I do agree with that point, that he definitely has two high priorities. And honestly, I feel so disgusting inside that I'm defending a man who told me to get away from him.
I mean, really? Of all the people for you to defend, it's the guy that told you to get away from him, buddy.
You know why you did this to me? Because I can't stand the Brady hypocrite stuff. I can't stand that Brady's still in front of us. And now it's causing me to defend Rodgers. And really, I feel gross inside.
Why do you have a hamburger on your t-shirt?
It's I just figured today I felt like spring is here, and I keep saying to drop good burgers every time I walk past the grill, and I figured it was a good, we wore the DA Show taco shirt yesterday, why not wear a burger shirt today?
So you just, is this a new shirt, or it just has a huge hamburger on it, it just says burger?
Now it's a little out of context. For Father's Day last year, Danielle got me a shirt that said burger and Taylor a shirt that said slider. So it was like that was kind of the playoff. But I've kept the shirt and worn it completely out of context now without Taylor wearing it.
Like your favorite team is just hamburgers.
Look, the tacos yesterday, burgers today. It's a good DA Show drop. I'm keeping with the theme of the week.
Okay. All right. I like it. Standing by with a kind sir update this morning is Andrew Bogish. Bogish, does your t-shirt just say hot dog on it with a huge hot dog? Maybe chicken sandwich?
No, it's actually the state flag of Colorado. I bought it when I was in Denver a couple of years ago, and it is only about me. There's no kid context or any other. I'm not making a statement against New York. This is just what I decided to put on today.
Okay, so it's not like you're Colorado and like your daughter is Rhode Island because that's like the smallest state.
No. She's not Denver. She's not a city inside Colorado. No, nothing like that.
Colorado, there's dad. Colorado Springs, there's his daughter. Okay. All right, Bogues, what do we got here on the headlines?
Well, we are roughly 90 minutes away from the start of the Masters. Perfect weather conditions expected today in Augusta, but rain and storms are apparently coming tomorrow and Saturday. Bad weather, just another problem that the scientists will have to figure out to win a green jacket.
How do I hit iron shots into greens to give myself the best chance to, you know, give myself just a ability to make birdie? I mean, there's a lot of times last year where, you know, I hit decent enough drives and I just didn't feel like I was hitting shots in the correct quadrants of the greens or giving myself opportunities on par fives like I should have.
As we all know, you cannot hit into the wrong quadrant of the green and expect to win at Augusta. Bryson DeChambeau tees off at 1:36 Eastern today. He finished tied for 34th back in November when Dustin Johnson won the Masters. He begins his round at 10:30 this morning. Accepted or not, the L.A. County Sheriff is blaming Tiger's car crash on speeding. Tiger was doing 80-plus in a 45, drove right off the road, missing a turn. Police think Tiger might have accidentally hit the gas instead of the brake. The case is closed.
That seems like a weird thing. We'll talk about this more later on in the show, but I mean, boy, imagine being in a car wreck and accidentally slamming on the gas instead of the brake pedal. Like, Tiger's been driving for 25 years. He's one of the greatest athletes ever. Completely coordinated enough to win the Masters by 17 shots, but when the car goes out of control, he slams on the wrong pedal. That's weird.
The Denver Nuggets keep winning, now in multiple languages.
Now look, pass off over to Facu Campazzo. He has it at the midcourt circle, guarded by Patty Mills. Gets a pick from McGee, goes to the left side. Oh, what a pass and a dunk with two hands by Jamichael Green. Let me say it for you in Spanish. Armaña hombre. He is the Spider-Man.
Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio. I don't know why Facu Campazzo is the Spider-Man, but he had 6 points and 5 rebounds and 2 assists in a 106-96.
Isn't Donovan Mitchell Spider? Spider Mitchell. So now we have Spider
yeah,
Mitchell.
Yeah, Spider Mitchell.
Spider Mitchell and Spider Man. So that's like the GIF or the meme where they're pointing. Spider Man are pointing at one another. You've got Fagazzo and Donovan Mitchell.
And I think Mitchell is the better player, should get the nickname, but yeah. That's just. Yeah. Where I'm going there. 106-96, the win last night for the Nuggets. They've reeled off 7 in a row. The same for the Suns, who fought off Mitchell and the Jazz in OT. 117-113, 35 points for Devin Booker, 29 for Chris Paul. Memphis on a 4-game run after a 131-113 W in Atlanta. The Rockets surprised the Mavs, 102-93. The Celtics held off the Knicks, 101-99. And the Nets won Kevin Durant's return, 139-111 over the Pelicans. KD, 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists in 19 minutes after missing 23 with a bad hamstring. Just 2 games under the lights on the diamond last night. Colorado blanked Arizona 8-0, and the Orioles outlasted the Yankees 4-3-11. In the Bronx, Arizona firing men's basketball coach Sean Miller yesterday. Devontae Smith, Mac Jones, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, among the players accepting invites to the draft in Cleveland later this month. And on ice last night, Colorado's 15-game point streak ended with an 8-3 loss in Minnesota. DA, back to you.
Oh, so you're representing the Colorado Avalanche having that streak snapped, huh?
That's what, that's what it is. This is, I'm in mourning for the Avalanche losing last night.
When we come back on the show, the most mothership story ever. Once upon a time, a New York Yankee out-ate an ostrich in a spaghetti-eating contest. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram, loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We're all over social media. Find me on Twitter, DA on CBS. Follow me there and tweet at me. Also on YouTube, you can watch the best of the day every single day from CBS Sports Radio and the DA Show. And on Facebook, follow us, and you can leave messages, facebook.com/TheDA Show, to follow along with the show. This is such an amazing story that I don't know how I never heard about it. Back in 1919, as part of a promotion to draw some attention to the New York Yankees, the Yankees owner had one of his players, Ping Bodie, have an eating contest against an ostrich at spring training. I suppose spring training was close to Jacksonville, so northern Florida for them, because they brought in an ostrich, Percy the Ostrich, from the nearby Jacksonville Zoo. Not named after the Jacksons or the Jackson 5 or Michael Jackson, because this was 1919. Slightly before the fame of ABC 123. So, to help promote his team, Ping Bodie's owner of the Yankees had him pitted against Percy the Ostrich in a spaghetti eating competition, because supposedly Percy the Ostrich was a voracious eater. May I ask, Mraz, this is some of your finest work. How did you find, how are you aware of this story becoming public the other day, the ostrich versus the outfielder for the love of pasta?
Every single day during baseball season, I read MLB.com just to keep up with the scores and what I'm missing around the league. And this happened to be in the sidebar, and I said, pasta and an ostrich? What am I missing here? And I read the story.
So I would have immediately assumed the ostrich crushed Ping Bodie, because even though Ping Bodie was Babe Ruth's, his roommate, an ostrich, think of how large an ostrich is. Have you ever seen an ostrich at a zoo? They are so tall, and they're really big. Their bodies are really, really big. That's not like a little skinny bird with a long neck. Ostriches are huge. And when they get going, when they get running, they run really, really fast, and they are very intimidating. Have you seen an ostrich up close, Mraz?
Yes, I have. They scare the daylights out of me. That animal makes no sense.
Makes no sense.
Not like just the whole way it looks, the long neck, the big base body. It is a ridiculous look.
Yeah, if you've ever gone to like a safari and had an ostrich pecking around your windows, you've seen how huge that bird is. And you just got to imagine, it houses food. It's an enormous, probably most ostriches, my guess is, are like 10 feet tall, right? Would that make sense? 7 to 8 to 10 feet tall?
I would say 7 to 8. I don't know about 10 feet. It basically is Tyron Smith's body with Mike Lennon's neck. It's unbelievable.
So wouldn't you just assume that the ostrich crushes a human being in terms of eating spaghetti specifically?
Yes, especially since spaghetti seems to be a meat that would slide down easy and through that neck. It wouldn't bulk up.
The outcome of this eating competition coming up after the break, because this is a big deal. This is a story that is made for us here on the program. Plus, Sean Miller gets the zig in Arizona. What took him so long? Why now? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.